This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love, a couple with children, a couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Misses.
Okay, guys, here we are, Mooch and the Misses, live from Vegas with Maria Menounos, a very special guest. I finally have someone who's on my wavelength on this podcast.
I love it.
It's always like me and some like 55-year-old man. Wink, wink.
I love all the M's.
Mooch, Misses, Menounos.
A lot of M's.
Mania.
I just got told by my beautiful wife that I'm not on her wavelength, which is fine. Keep going, baby.
I didn't mean you. I meant the guests.
Nope. You're just a little... Nope. Older. This is what I say to my husband. I'm always like, honey, like, it's just different. You're older.
Right? I know.
Okay, so what does that mean, Menounos? What does that mean, older? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, what's your age difference?
No, he's 15 years older than me.
Okay, so Kevin's 11. Yeah, it's just they're a different generation.
Yeah, like one time I sent him a text and told him he was cray. Listen, and he goes, you forgot the Z.
This is brutal.
Oh, I'm like, no, I said you're cray.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is what Kevin's been saying to me lately. He's like, we're just not on the same page. Hey,
this is Mrs. Mooch and Menounos. Mr. Scaramucci's going to keep his mouth shut here. I can tell I'm going to get in trouble. I can see the incoming.
We're just being...
No, it's all
we're
good.
Being funny.
Yeah.
So,
or we think we are.
So
maybe
tell us your secret. Because you got a good... You got a secret. You got a really good secret. You
have which one? About what?
Your life. You have a positive energy. Mm-hmm. And you reach people, millions of people through television, radio, all this other stuff. But there's something that happened to you transitionally from your childhood to where you are right now. And it would be really cool for our listeners to know what that is and where did the awakening happen and the awareness. I can tell you when it happened for me, if that helps.
Yeah.
You know, so it happened for me the day that my father handed me a $10,000 check. And so I had just gotten into Tufts, which is in your hometown,
yep.
Medford, Massachusetts. My dad didn't have a lot of money, so he cashed a cash value life insurance policy. It was in 1982, and he gave me $10,000. And Tufts was $24,000 at the time. So he said, here's the money. He goes, look, you're going to have to figure this out. But he cashed got the cash value and closed down a $250,000 life insurance policy. And so that was the moment for me. That was the epiphany, because I was a little bit of a hooligan. I was driving around in my
wreck. He always says epiphany. He pronounces it incorrectly. Say it again.
Epiphany.
Okay, there you go.
All right. I mean, look, I was born on the epiphany, January 6th.
Okay, good.
Now, I'm cruising around in a Camaro. I'm an Italian retard. I'm cruising.
I had a Camaro, too.
Of course you did. Of course you did. And I had the gold chains. I was wearing 100% polyester or anything until the mid to late 80s. But it was in that moment where, you know, I was not totally paying attention in school. I was a little off on, like, laziness, where I said, wow, this is so important to my dad that I'm going to take this thing seriously. I'm going to see where I can take this. You had a moment like that. Or did you?
Well, I'm sure.
You've had this amazing career. So something clicked somewhere to go from your background to where you are now. What was it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing I thought of was Kevin. Because, you know, growing up in Medford, first generation Greek American, you know, I had all these big dreams. I just didn't know how I was going to get there. And my parents were janitors at various nightclubs in Boston. And I used to get up on the stage and like perform for them in between cleaning and all the stuff I was doing to help us get out of there. And I had this vision for what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be in LA and, you know, I'd wear my hair in a ponytail and I'd be like, Dad, someday I'm going to go to LA. And he would take my ponytail and shake my head no. And I'm like, yes. And he'd be like, no. And so I didn't know how it was going to take shape, but I saw myself there and I saw myself being on TV and being in this industry. And so I did everything I could. Any door that would open, a little modeling gig at the mall, or I entered a beauty pageant back there, and that kind of opened up so many doors for me. And I met Kevin while I was at Emerson College. I was studying broadcast journalism, and my cousin had introduced us because they had gone to high school together. He's like, my buddy Kevin's coming home to make a movie. You should work on it. And I think that was kind of the moment, because when I look at what transpired after that, everything I wanted clicked. So I was pursuing broadcast journalism.
He's got an eye for talent. We're talking about your husband.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kevin Undergaro.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an eye for talent. You can just tell. I've met him obviously a few mm-hmm. times. I click with him immediately because he's you know, he's just like me, but he's like from Boston. But he's got an eye for talent.
Oh,
right.
Oh my God, he has an incredible track record.
He can see around a corner on something, right?
I said today to somebody,
so that gave
and
you some confidence. Then,
yeah,
right?
He's like a career clairvoyant, and he is so genius at what he does, and he does see talent. So I met him.
But it gave you more confidence too, right? Or no?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I worked on the film and I was able to learn kind of on the job, but he believed in me. And I was producing. I mean, I PA'd, I produced, I did everything. And I got my first job and we moved out to LA. And he just had so much confidence in where it was all going to go and helped me from building my reel to everything that I did. So I think that would be the moment, because up until then you're doing things and you're not knowing
without
where it's
direction.
Gonna yeah, yeah, where it's gonna go, where it's gonna take you, but you take those baby steps. And then that baby step takes you to that moment when it's like, boom, here we go. But I remember
go ahead.
I remember, you know, because my parents are immigrants, and I remember when I would be on that stage, I would think like there's nowhere to go but up. And my dad always used to say, Maria, you can do anything you put your mind to. And I believed him, luckily, because I don't know how I would be here otherwise.
So setbacks, you know, you're in the movie, entertainment, television business. So definitionally you've had setbacks. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting group of people. How do you manage those?
Interesting group of people. Yeah, they are. There's great ones and there's not so great ones.
But that's true in my business. That's
for
true
sure.
In a lot of businesses.
In all businesses.
Well, the world, probably.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know what I mean? Because with fame, it's sort of like power, right? Because I've had a little bit of experience in Washington, and you know, what happens is fame and power is a little bit similar. There's a lot of ruthlessness goes into it because people really want it.
Yes.
So they start losing their moral compass and they go after each other.
Yes.
You know?
And the hard thing with me, I think that Kevin has recognized with me, is I don't want it the way they want it. When I first met him, he said, why do you want to make it so bad? And I said, because I want to help my parents have a better life because they suffered. And so that was my driving force, aside from the fact that it was exciting and something that I wanted to do. My kind of guiding force was I wanted to help my parents. So, you know, I did everything from buying them their first new car to, you know, buying them a house and all of those things. But that was why I wanted it. So when I have encountered the ruthless people in this business that will literally do anything they can to hold you down before you take off, you realize that that is what defines them, is that fame and that power and that excitement. I'm like, doesn't mean anything to me other than I have recognized that what comes with that power and that fame is the ability, again, when my mom gets diagnosed with brain cancer, to be able to take care of mm-hmm. her at the highest of levels mm-hmm. and to be able to help other people like her as much as I can. So, you know, it's the struggle that I have now in these last 2 years since my brain surgery as well that
People may not know about your brain surgery. Let's talk a little bit about that. You had a meningioma.
Yep.
And so just for people, that's like the lining of the brain is starting to create a tumor, starting mm-hmm. to create excess growth. So it's less dangerous than an actual inside the brain tumor.
Yes.
And so you had it removed. Was it near your ear or where was it? Hemisphere was it in?
On the right side, based on the trigeminal nerve near the pons or on the pons mm-hmm. and went into Meckel's cave. So I had brain surgery. It'll be 2 years next month.
Thank God.
And
who did the surgery?
Dr. Black at Cedars.
In Cedars, okay, mm-hmm. yeah.
And I think that that's been my thing in the
but
last 2 years.
But it coincided with your mom, like right after your mom, right?
Yeah, my mom's was 8 months prior to that.
That is so strange and so not great,
crazy.
Right?
Yeah, that's but like, it was great because my life had to change and it has drastically. So anybody else would be, you know, kind of freaking out. And I'm like, I'm really loving the moments of uncomfortableness when I'm like, I have these moments where I'm like, should I be doing more?
That reminds you don't need to be doing more,
and I'm
right?
Like, no,
yeah, it's not important.
So I'm like, I feel like if I'm going to go to like the next dimension, this is kind of that place where I'm really working on kind of the next level stuff, like the spiritual and the kind of transformational stuff. So.
And did you and your mom kind of help each other through everything? Obviously you would anyway, because you're mother daughter, but you had something so terrible in common.
I know that story would be like beautiful, but no.
No, that's like a real answer.
Because my mom, you know, with brain cancer and, you know, Anthony, you know, because you do so much work with brain tumors, it's a whole other thing. Like my mom had surgery, she had radiation, she had chemo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go on in the brain after that. So there's a lot of inflammation, a lot of cognitive deficits. So part of the treatments that I gave my mom is I put her on marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of joke sometimes that she was too high to help me. But she actually doesn't even remember my surgery.
Seriously?
Yeah, she doesn't remember
anything. How far after her surgery was your surgery?
8 months.
Okay, so.
So she was just freshly dosing on marijuana from maybe 2 months prior, a month and a half prior. And she just, you know, between the cognitive deficits, the radiation, inflammation, the marijuana, she doesn't remember anything. And she recently told me how bad she feels because she doesn't remember any of it. But to me, that was another silver lining because she didn't get to feel that.
Right.
Imagine someone who has cancer, the last thing they need is stress.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And a child, no matter how old they are, being sick is the most stress you could ever put on a mom or a parent. So it's better off, maybe.
Yeah.
I know my dad had brain surgery also, and he had same. Yeah. He had a meningioma, actually, but it came like from his ear.
Like an acoustic neuroma, maybe?
He had, what's it called?
Oh, you said it was a meningioma.
He had a cholesteatoma, but it led to the same exact thing that you had.
So, unfortunately, there's an inner ear tumor that can develop called a cholesteatoma.
Right.
It's almost like an excess of cholesterol.
Wow.
And it forms in the ear, in the middle ear area, and unfortunately it affected his hearing. I think he lost the hearing almost entirely.
Yeah. Wow. But it went through, it ate through a bone in his head. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Long story short, I'm not trying to get like, you know, neurological, but I remember him being in the hospital for 6 months and he forgot how to read.
Yeah.
And it was at a very like strange time for me. I was a freshman in high school and I was 15 and I remember it was like so upsetting to me. But I remember seeing him and thinking, I cannot believe like how precious life is in your brain and to see you in that much of a deficit when you've been a functioning adult.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. So I'm sure
back,
that was hard
got
on
it
him.
Back. You got
oh
it
yeah,
back.
No, he fully recovered. But it was just
takes a while.
It takes a long time. And it's a big trauma.
I mean, so we got a lot in common here because my dad had a meningioma surgery. They couldn't remove the entire thing because it was bicameral. It was on both sides of his brain. And they did the radio, like the cyber knife on the left side. They removed most of the right side. And so the, I mean, we can get off this topic, but I mean, here's the thing. You have this resilience. You have this gift of like awareness, which is very cool, which we try to teach our kids. You know, be aware, be present, you know. Love what's going on. Everything's not going to be perfect. Yeah. But you know what? We're here. We're together. You got a lot of love.
It's how
in
you get
life,
through it.
Right? And but what I'm trying to do, and I know Deirdre's trying to do this, which among the many reasons I love her, is you want to tell the kids, hey, come on. You can do it. You know, dream the biggest dream and go for the biggest idea and don't be afraid to fail. You know what I mean? Like, there's a plaque somewhere I read. It's a little bit cliche, but it's like, what if you could do whatever you wanted and you were guaranteed that you weren't going to fail at it?
No, but you know what's cool about Anthony? Because I've had the privilege of seeing him with his older kids. They have actually listened to him and they believe that. And they actually are doing things that they want to do, which is very cool to see. And they don't really care about what anybody thinks. They pursue what they want to do. And that is because you told them to.
I mean, when I got fired from the White House, though, and I was telling...
You got fired from the White House?
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that.
What?
Yeah, you missed that one. But I was telling John Kelly this. So Kelly fired me. I interviewed him last night here at the Saul Conference, and we're standing with my son. And my son, AJ, he's 26. He's at Stanford Business School. 2 years ago, he's 24. I got my butt fired. I'm walking on the promenade in Santa Monica, like the 3rd or 4th Street promenade. And he's like, hey, Dad, are you going to be okay? It was like the first time in my life where my kid was parentalizing and like all of a sudden realized that I was getting annihilated. And we were telling Kelly this, you know, and he said, yeah, you know, I'm sorry that it went down like that, but I also got annihilated. He was explaining why. And you know what? Going into politics, it's a rough contact sport. Yeah. If you're going into the media, you're going to get hit with the paparazzi. You know, you're going to get hit in an uncomfortable situation. They're going to catch you without your hairstylist who spent 2.5 hours on that hair. Mm-hmm. Looks good, though. Looks
Thanks.
Good. Hers was 2 hours and 26 minutes as well. No, I'm kidding. And mine was 3 hours and 51 minutes, in case we're counting. But the point I'm making is I love the resilience. Thanks. I love that story.
Well, it's Rocky. Rocky's quote gets me through so much. It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Yeah, I love
how
that.
Much you can take.
Do you know Sylvester Stallone?
I do. He's a dear friend. And when I came out of surgery, that was the first thing I said. I started quoting Rocky. So going into surgery, I was playing Rocky music as my theme song. And when I came out, I could barely speak and I started quoting it. So I sent it to him. It happened to be his birthday. I said, if you didn't know how much your words meant to me before, it's the first thing I uttered when I woke up from massive brain surgery.
Well, he's got an incredible life story too, you know, because I mean, he...
Talk about resilience.
Yeah, I tell my kids this. He wrote the screenplay of Rocky. Mm-hmm. They wanted to buy for him on a dime.
Yep.
They didn't want him to act in it. Nope. He says, hey, I'm not doing it unless you let me act in it. He finally gets it done. Goes on to win the Academy Award.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was an
amazing. You have to believe
amazing.
In yourself. And the other quote about fear, you gave me the one great one, is everything you want is on the other side of fear. So if you let fear guide you in life, what a boring, like miserable life. Mm-hmm. You have to go for things. Like that's why I've done all the crazy stuff I've done, whether it's wrestling or Dancing with the Stars. I couldn't put one foot in front of the other and make it make sense. And I went in and Derek transformed me into a dancer. But if I had listened to everyone who had told me you're going to suck, don't do it, you're going to embarrass yourself. And there was a side of me that thought this was going to happen. My family, my parents, Maria, you going to be so bad, Maria.
Stop telling me I suck
Maria.
At dancing.
No,
baby, stop telling
that.
Me. Okay. She's laughing because she knows I suck at dancing.
I'm sure they've asked you to do the show, right?
They didn't directly ask me, but they did send out a couple of feelers. It was right after the White House. Mm-hmm. I would probably do it today if they asked me. I probably was less inclined then because I was getting annihilated.
Yeah.
And needed a little bit of time to like
How did you
in.
Get past that?
It's a good question. Well, first thing I had to do, because my wife and I were split.
Splitsville.
And so I had to reconcile that. And so I was more concerned about that than anything else, because I obviously love her very much. And so I had to figure that out. And then we started that work in progress. You know, Tony helped us. You were talking about Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
We went down to
David Destiny.
Yeah.
Talked with him and Sage.
Was Derek there? Yeah, Derek was there. Derek and his sister.
I went to that one.
You were
I was
there.
With them.
I was about
yeah.
to say, I think you were there.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah, so that what year was that, baby?
Seven,
that was like 17. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was December 17th. So we were there.
Yeah.
In that VIP area.
Yeah, of course.
The director was there with us. I'm trying to think of the guy. He did Rush Hour.
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner. He's a good friend of
Tony. Yeah, is he there too? I don't remember.
Yeah, and I saw Brett last week at the Milken Conference, but we were all sitting together, and Tony just has a gift. You know,
yes.
What I mean? He knows I love Deirdre, and thankfully Deirdre loves me, and he's like, okay, here's how we're going to put this together, and here's how you're going to be stronger.
What did he say? What did you do?
So many good things. Just so many good things.
What were
about,
the top ones?
You know, own your mistakes, make sure that you're living each day, really caring about each other, focus on each
For
other.
For me, your it's actions, like,
honey, are you listening? Okay.
Can you hear us?
Okay.
I think gratitude for me is like the biggest takeaway from Tony, because if you start your day like thinking like we really have great lives, you mm-hmm. know, and we're really lucky. And so if you think about all the things, like I think, oh my God, I have this like amazing family. I grew up with great parents, whatever it is. And I think about how much it's like, it's lucky to find someone that you really love, by the way.
So yeah.
So if you start from there, when you get up in the morning, like it's kind of hard to be in a bad mood. So, I mean, sometimes things do get the better of you.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if you have some gratitude in your heart.
But
and
that helps
mind,
you not lose the perspective.
Yeah, it
the
gives
gratitude.
You some perspective.
Yeah.
You know,
Maria, every
so
time I've got my ego
sounds
involved,
so cheesy, but it's
or
so
I got
true.
My pride involved, I've really done stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, and so I always tell people that, you know, she's probably sick of me saying that to people. Oh, shut up. But you know what? That's the truth.
Yeah.
Because what happens is the emotions go very high and then the intelligence goes
yes.
low.
Well, that's a Tony thing. When,
and it's
when emotions are high,
that's a Tony
intelligence
thing.
Is
react,
low.
Not respond.
That's
yeah.
a Tony thing.
Yeah. There's yeah, like your, a million Tony things.
Keep your emotions
I always think
out of it. Don't overly personalize it. Take yeah. a look at the situation and do what's right for you and your family, right?
How do you get to the point, though, where that becomes your go-to when you've been used to it not being?
That's mm-hmm. a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, a great book. Yeah. It was called Learned Optimism by Martin Seligman. It's a classic. It's probably 30 years old now. But what he said was you can actually train your brain to be optimistic. You have tendencies sociologically and as a result of your evolution to be pessimistic mm-hmm. because that pessimism allowed you to survive.
The yeah, whole, it's the protecting.
Know, the saber-toothed tiger's coming my way or this is going to happen.
Yep.
And so what happens is you have a worry switch that goes on. You're sitting in your cave with the spear waiting for the saber-toothed tiger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so what he was trying to say is that you're living in a 100,000-year-old piece of machinery. It hasn't had a software upgrade in 100,000
yes.
years. So you have to hit the reset. You have to hack it.
You have to reboot yourself.
You know, this phone went from iPhone 1 to iPhone 10 in 10 years, but you're living in the same piece of machinery from 100,000 years ago. So his point was you got to hack it. And the way you hack it is you start creating the habits of optimism, gratitude, appreciation. You have a gratitude list or the things about your life you really, really like. What are the things about your life that you don't like that you can fix?
Yeah.
How do you accept the things about your life that you can't fix?
Yeah.
You know,
it's like happening for you, not to you.
Yeah, right. It's like the serenity prayer. So those are big things. But, you know, weirdly, and maybe this is true, maybe it isn't true, but the thing that happened to me and obviously my family affected my family, it's also had these positive externalities. You know, I think it helped our conference, believe it or not, because I'm calling people, they return my call. They know who I am. Come to the conference.
So,
now, I'm not sure
wait,
if we
so
would have met or not.
Before you got
but
fired, you think they didn't know your name and now that became such big news?
More.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
See, that's it was working
you
for you,
so?
Not to you.
I don't know.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Because it was like such a firestorm. It was like, it was explosive and like tabloided. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And people unfortunately read that more than they read real news. So
what is real news?
I don't know. Just like things that are actually going on in the world that are like consequential to life and death, not the mooch.
I'm but, so kidding. Yeah.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
We're going to wrap in a little bit, but I got to ask you another question if you're cool with it. Okay, so you've got this great trajectory. Where are you? Where's Kevin in 10 years? And we know you make plans and God laughs, and it's not going to be what you probably totally imagine. But where do you think it's going to be?
I hope in the next 10 years we're able to successfully create a family. That's definitely at the top of the list. I think I hope that all of the work we're doing in entrepreneurially, like in our company with AfterBuzz TV, will flourish so that we can continue that great work and kind of be in the driver's seat of our lives. You know, all those years being under contract and having someone else tell you
what to do,
even down to your hair every day is like, it's a lot. So I'm excited to be in the driver's seat and in that kind of uncertainty of what's coming and what's where we're all going. You know, like I think for a long time I was going contract to contract and okay, this gig and that gig and these people want me. And now I'm in
like
that
a
moment
freneticism,
of,
right? Now you have calm.
Now I have peace and stillness and I'm just letting the universe guide me to where I'm supposed to go. And it's a really exciting place. It can be uncomfortable at times, but it's a cool place. So we'll see.
You know what the best part of that is? That we get to do stuff together all the time. And I think that's part of the best part of your story is that you're doing it with your husband.
Yeah. Yeah, you're boo. A good team. Love you, boo.
No, it makes it more fun though.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, when I was working like crazy, he would even take me to the nail salon and sit with me.
Yeah,
like,
because you got we do
he would
that
drive
too.
Me to premieres, whatever it took, so we could spend time
hang
together.
Out and like be together.
That's great.
But yeah, working with your spouse or significant other is fun. I like it.
Last question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you got advice, a lot of questions.
Well, what advice would you have for somebody trying to break into the business?
Call Kevin. I think. I mean, the standard things I always say is. Whatever you think you're doing, your work hard is not our work hard. Mm-hmm. So if you think you're working hard, multiply it by 1,000 and now you might be at the level you need to be at.
Okay. Great advice.
It's just the truth. If you want to make it, it requires extreme sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It requires humility. It requires tenacity. It requires resourcefulness. And no bitching and complaining. And it's really hard, especially with this generation, for them to understand what it takes to really make it and to really get to that level. But if you keep pushing and you keep fighting, you keep working, like I always envisioned a ladder. So my vision was growing up, okay, I'm going to be going up the ladder and, you know, the person ahead of me is going to start doing drugs and they're going to fall. And then the next person, oh, they're going to pick a poor partner and then that's going to take them out of the game. And then that person's going to do something stupid and I'm going to play such a good game. I'm going to be good. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be whatever. And then I'm just going to keep going. And that was how I looked at it. And it's exactly what happened. So
you like self-actualized all this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I visualized everything down to what my house looks like, down to what cars I was driving, down to everything. It's crazy.
Power of the mind.
Yeah.
That goes back to the whole Tony Robbins thing.
Marie, it's awesome. Well, thank you. We really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, guys. This was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
All right.
Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yes.
A little different than Chris Christie,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
I loved it. It was so much more my speed. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you, guys.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.